Welcome to the Word from the Ancient Path, stories and sermons for the journey. It's a channel of blessing and encouragement for beloved friends all over the world to hear and experience how God speaks and works through ordinary people with an extraordinary calling. We bring you stories of good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom, and the Word of God declared through the pastors and missionaries of Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. Beloved listeners and friends, I am your guide, Pastor Kevin Jobe, and I am very happy to be with you. Our ministry was founded in 2011 by Pastors Jose Santiago and Yami Cruz in Jovellanos, Cuba. And my wife Tani and I serve as directors and chief connection makers for the U.S. branch of the ministry. Together we have a great team of pastors, missionaries, advisors, and kingdom servants who are dedicated to planting churches and spreading the reach of the gospel. We pray that you are blessed and inspired by these sermons, reflections, and our testimony of what God has done and is doing in and through us. Welcome back to our house. Mi casa es tu casa, beloved friends in Christ. Last week on the podcast, we began to share the story of how the Job Santiago or Santiago Jobe clan came to understand that we are family. I told you that I didn't know how long this would go, and last week I managed to get through the setup and a mere 2.5 days of my initial time with Jose and Yami in Cuba back in November of 2006. On our first meeting, Jose and I knew that God had long before shaped us for brotherhood. As it says in 1 Samuel 18, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Up to now, God has brought us together and has begun the supernatural connection making as family and as partners in the work of the kingdom of God. But the story's just getting underway. So I'm going to pick up right where we left off. It's the evening of the third day in which Jose and Yami and I were first together. And following my dinner in my new home in Jovellano, we are off to the big church for an evening of praise and worship. It was there that I got to share music for the first time in Cuba. Afterward, thinking this might be our last time together for the trip, Jose and Yami took me outside the church and they gifted me a beautiful wooden map of Cuba, pointing to and reminding me of where I could find my home on it. And as they went to pull away on his motorcycle, as he had done the day before, he stopped and he looked back at me, and just like that evening, he laced his fingers together, pulling his hands together as one, and he pointed and he said, "You and me together." I did the same in return, and then I went upstairs and tried to sleep, as if that was going to happen. The next 2 days on the trip were a wondrous time. The Lord was opening my heart and my mind to things I had never experienced. On an excursion out to a rural mission, the gift of supernatural healing was placed in my hands for a woman suffering from severe headaches. And during that same encounter, the Holy Spirit also revealed to me that back at home, Tani was suffering from a bad migraine and that I needed to pray for her. I saw the wonder of God's creation at Baradero Beach on the north coast of Cuba. And I experienced the church at work in big and small ways, and even got to dabble just a little bit in the knowledge of the alternate economy of Cuba's black market. My head was spinning, but I just couldn't escape the overwhelming sense that I needed to see Jose and Yami again before I went home. Now, one of our team members, Matt Burden, is the son of Tim and Beth, and he's an amazing man of God. In 2006, he was an energetic youth, fluent in Spanish and in Cuban culture, and he had much experience in many deep friendships with our new family in Jovellano. He had lived there for extended periods of time. And Matt gladly served to help bring my world and Jose's together. After dinner on our last evening in Jovellano, Matt and I stole away from our team and we walked a couple of miles in hopes of finding Jose. And God provided a response. As I recorded in my trip journal, it goes like this. We heard Jose pull up on his motorcycle. The hoped-for chance to talk and pray together again would indeed happen. I recall a great intensity in our conversation. I know that there's real yearning to be able to communicate more clearly with each other. Matt made a great bridge for us, though. Jose started by saying that he knows that our friendship and our brotherhood does not come from us, but it is God's. Can you imagine that? How did this happen with a brother I'd never met 1,000 miles from home? There is so much of God's love in my little brother's deep, dark, intense eyes. He told me about how his congregation had been saying how moving my visit was for them and how excited they were about it. He said they'd never been excited before about previous missionary visits. So I'm humbled and once again amazed at the connection that God has worked out. He knew this would come to pass before any of us were ever created. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I'd come to see Jose that night, hoping to voice just a little bit about how I was unsure what we had to give, thinking that we really didn't have anything to offer in helping build community and that we could really only just bring stuff and money, and all that seemed a little bit shallow to me. But we also talked a bit. I talked with him about that ancient practice of cutting a covenant, and we spoke of how ours was going to be a long-lasting relationship. And then we just spent a little time talking and getting to know each other. And that was when the promise-making began. We started pouring out our dreams of what covenant would look like between us. Jose blew the whole thing wide open with this crazy proposal he had for a church covenant. He suggested that in addition to the clear bond between the two of us and what we knew would build between our families and our churches as bodies, that we needed to find a way to have at least monthly contact between individual members and families of our congregations. Now, in 2006, Cuba had no cell phone service. Jose and Yami didn't even have a home phone. And the average Cuban citizen had little or no access to email. But somehow that day, the Lord had unleashed a torrent of dreams coming from us. And so I promised him that my Spanish would be a bit better the next time we saw each other, and that essentially I would learn to speak the language. And in return, he promised a bit more English. At this point, the conversation, Matt just stopped us, and he looked seriously at both of us like a dad or something, and he said, "Shut up. Shut up. You guys can't possibly follow through on this." I was dumbfounded. But Matt explained to me how he'd seen this before. Americans would come, and they'd get so caught up in the Cuban church atmosphere that they'd make all these promises that they were neither equipped nor really willing to keep. He had seen Cuban church leaders left wondering what had happened after these would-be lifelong partners had left the island only never to return. Jose looked and he nodded knowingly, but we glanced quickly at each other and then back at Matt, and without a second of hesitation, I said to him, "Watch us." And then we took hands in prayer, and we prayed God's blessing on each other's church, and family, and life. And we gave praise to God for the relationship that we share. God's love for us is so deep sometimes that I can't even begin to figure it out. It was a moment I never want to lose. One more time we shared that symbol of our fingers intertwined, our hands together, brothers together. And on the walk back to the church where our team was staying, I recall thinking, "Lord, you make the enemy look like such an idiot. I believe I am who you say I am, and I thank you so much for all that you are shaping here. Jose has been my brother all his life, and we just never knew it. As the word says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Well, we're going to take a moment now here for a short break. So please stay with us for more on The Ancient Path. At Ancient Path Ministries, our greatest hope is to carry the light of the kingdom of God into places where it is most needed. We want to see people set free from what holds them captive and offer salvation in Christ to people lost in darkness. We want to live as examples, the oaks of righteousness planted to display God's splendor. Now, our ministry is built on connections in Christ, and our financial foundation depends on the regular partnership of beloved friends such as you. If you'd be interested in becoming a covenant financial partner or just contribute to the work of the ministry, invite you to visit our website, ancientpathministries.org. Check out the church in action and see how you can be a part of bringing good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom. And we are back. The following morning, as our team was preparing to make our way toward Havana and then home, I was surprised when Jose and Yami appeared at the church. And they came with a full color print of a covenant of prayer certificate that they had written for both our churches. It had been translated into the most precious broken English that I had ever read. And Jose and I signed copies for each of our congregations. But now the moment had come to truly say farewell. And as we began to pray, Yami took my hands and joined them with Jose's. And she prayed thanks to God for and a petition of protection over our brotherhood. I hugged both of them and kissed them, and they tearfully left me. But I knew in that moment that what a mere 5 days earlier had seemed only like a chance to experience someone else's ministry had instead become a whole new life to me. No human could have dreamt such a thing. It must be God's dream for us. Nothing would ever be the same. 15 years later, I remain amazed and deeply grateful. Ah, great God of wonders. In that great scene in the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, when the Apostle Peter proclaims publicly that Jesus is the Messiah, in verse 17, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Often in the life of a disciple, the revelation of God's most incredible dreams for us will be accompanied by or followed shortly thereafter by an inverse and strong opposition to the work of the Holy Spirit. But the church stands solidly on the rock of faith. I've already briefly mentioned the spiritual overnight battle that after my initial meeting with and bonding to my brother Jose, as though we were like David and Jonathan, but that would be just the initial volley. In Cuba, the presence of the spiritual realm is obvious. I often refer to the atmosphere as being like a thick spiritual stew with a variety of ingredients poured into the pot. There's the clash and syncretism of and between pagan Santeria and Catholicism, strains of witchcraft and black magic, the atheistic ideologies of Marxism and communist government, and the evangelical fervor of an ongoing Christian revival. I mean, you can smell and taste the entire stew, but just like in the kitchen, sometimes identifying the flavor of its individual ingredients is tricky. My trip journal from this first week is seasoned throughout with spiritual skirmishes, beginning from my first conversations with my pastor about binding and loosing, what we should hold to and what we tear down and throw away. And it's not always clear which we should choose in a given moment. In the months leading up to that trip, the Lord had often been speaking to me in dreams, and in that space between being fully asleep and fully awake. Most of my nights during the trip were spent in those places. I was smelling and tasting the stew, but what came from where was hard to determine. I saw visions and heard voices in the middle of the night, but the sources of the sights and the sounds were not always clear. What was a sanctified dream, and what was a damned nightmare? I wasn't completely certain. And so the overnights were like roller coaster rides. The enemy would pound me with my past. The post-traumatic stress disorder that I carry from years of surviving sex abuse left an opening for him to try and pervert my newly discovered brotherhood. But the Holy Spirit would then remind me of the transformation that had been woven into my life and the promise of what was to come. I would be overcome with alternating waves of thanksgiving for my wife and children and with missing them intensely. And I would beg for the strength to just keep trusting in the work that God was doing. And during the time of our stay in Jovellanos, the local pagans who practiced Santeria were in a period of drum rituals in which they pound 24/7 for several days running to invoke spirits by whom they hope to be possessed in a trance-like state. Yeah, literally, possessed. More than once, that rhythm competed for my attention during the wee small hours. And the most confusing of the visions came on our last night in Jovellanos. I saw very vividly a vision that everything I was experiencing that was so pleasing and seemed to be from the kingdom of God was a sham. In the dream, even my pastor Tim was in on the charade. "They're all pulling the wool over your eyes, Kevin," it said. I fought hard against that image, but many, many things remained blurry for me. In all, I barely slept for the entirety of a week, but apart from one day where I didn't see Jose and Yami, I wasn't the least bit tired.
I was wide awake, physically and spiritually, and I'll tell you what I needed to be. The spiritual battles in normal waking hours kept leading me right back to the gates of hell. You know, being wide awake in dreamland wasn't so simple either. My journal recalls that a tug of war began to go on in my soul, and the destroyer started harping on my ego and my insecurities, and I found myself suddenly jealous of a fellow team member. And in my heart, I started to critique his preaching, and all of this darkness suddenly surfaced within me. I was ashamed of myself, and yet it took some time to clear it all away. I'm not sure, aside from pride, where this came from. Maybe it was just that I was jealous of his relationship with Tim. I don't know. But God helped me to conquer it. And then those attacks against my brotherhood with Jose were nonstop. The day after our first encounter, my journal says, much of the afternoon into the early evening, the accuser continues to try and con me into thinking that my new friendship has warped. But God continues to reaffirm his sovereignty in my life. What was clear through all of this was that the Lord was filling me with the Holy Spirit in new and amazing ways, and the enemy was just trying to fog up my vision and quench the fire. But I'd been filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit in a way I'd never experienced. I longed for the coming of the kingdom of God to a level I had never known before, and that has never left me in the days since. I would return home from this trip changed forever. And speaking of home, not only was Tani suffering from a bad migraine, but a full-scale physical and spiritual attack was launched against our household in my absence. Our 2-year-old son had to be taken to the emergency room with severe breathing issues, and I had nearly died at his age from a similar condition. When I got back with my stories about all the wild things God had done, my family was struggling. Again, in my journal, it says, today the sense of the reality of everyday life has been sinking in. The babies are all sick with a virus that I started around here a few weeks ago. My son's on a steroid and inhaler, and I don't like seeing my boy on either of those, but I promised the Lord a few days ago that he had my trust. I believe he has this under control. Our 2-year-old and 1-year-old daughters feel rotten too, and they're having trouble sleeping this evening. I wish I could make them all comfortable. Tani's worn out here from the week without me and all the sick kids, and so grateful she insisted that I make the trip, but I also want so much to ease her pain. You know, it's easy to make promises, but living out covenant relationships is never a simple matter. I started to fill in Tani and help her understand, and on my first Sunday back at Grace Church, I shared pictures and my excitement about the trip, and then I sheepishly confessed to them that without their permission or foreknowledge, I had entered them into a prayer covenant with La Capilla El Salvador, and that we were now a sister church. God loved my folks. They immediately embraced it. I thanked the Lord for them. I was able to receive a written message from Jose by way of Cousin Willie. He told me that he was going to make a place for me to stay in their home the next time I came. Now, that seemed like a sweet gesture, and impossible at the time, given that it wasn't even legal for a foreigner to stay in a private household in Cuba. And just before Christmas, I started an email correspondence with a brother in Christ from New York State who was going to go to Jovellanos and was willing to take a few items in for Jose Nyami. And across the course of our few messages, I shared a little bit of my experience with the dreams and the visions and told him how the enemy had taunted me with these false visions. His response completely blindsided me. He wrote, "Pastor Kevin, I believe your dreams are from the Lord. Not all is as it appears. My pastor, too, was troubled by a dream along a similar vein just before I left for Cuba. He's willing to share that with you if you'd like to contact him." Well, I did talk to the pastor. And so there's more to the story. Like I said, it's a thick spiritual stew. And it takes some time and effort to extract the God from the bad, the Holy Spirit from the unholy. And I was just starting out. But friends, for today I'm out of time. So next time we get together, I'll let you know how all that worked out. So you have your invitation to come on back to our house next week. Mi casa es tu casa. Thank you for joining us, beloved friends. Again, be sure to check out our website, ancientpathministries.org. Like and follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at Ancient Path Ministries. This is Pastor Kevin Job for Ancient Path Ministries, La Senda Antigua. I can't wait to tell you more the next time. Que Dios te bendiga mucho. Go and be the church.